Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
Over the past 7.5 years, visitors to the PATH train station on the edge of Ground Zero in Lower Manhattan have often been greeted by a street musician playing Amazing Grace. More recently, they've witnessed progress as the Freedom Tower, the soaring structure that will replace the World Trade Center, has begun to take shape. But Avi Schick, chairman of the Lower Manhattan Development Corporation, says downtown isn't just being restored, it's being rediscovered.
Lower Manhattan is being transformed from the world's leading commercial and finance district really to a world-class neighborhood and community. Certainly a big component of that is rebuilding commercial towers, but just as important are the other amenities that are necessary for a neighborhood, whether it's parks, whether it's transportation, upgrades, schools, and museums.
Since 9/11, Schick says, more than a dozen new museums have been slated for Lower Manhattan. One of the largest opens next month. The Sports Museum of America will be an interactive salute to all sports and the new home of the Heisman Trophy. Its location, directly between the Statue of Liberty Ferry and the World Trade Center Memorial, allows the museum to take advantage of Liberty Bonds, low-cost, tax-exempt financing meant to revitalize downtown New York. While the bulk of the $8 billion federally funded program has been awarded to projects at Ground Zero, Avi Schick says it's appropriate for more than $50 million to be spent on a for-profit museum dedicated to sports.
I think what the government was trying to do with the Liberty Bond program is to say to those developers or institutions that were willing to make big bets on Lower Manhattan in the immediate aftermath of 9/11, we're there with you, we'll be your partners. And this is a part of that, and so I think it makes, you know, all sorts of sense.
No one has made a bigger bet on the Sports Museum of America than its founder, Phil Schwalb. Liberty Bonds fund the bulk of the project now, but to get the idea off the ground, Schwalb needed seed money. Instead of securing a traditional loan, he decided to take cash advances on the combined $150,000 limit on his credit cards.
And then I realized that when I'd withdrawn like $30,000 in a day, that the other banks with whom I had credit might get jittery and reduce my lines of credit. So I decided I'd better get all the money out in one day. So actually that afternoon, within about a four-hour period, I went to Citibank and Chase and took it all out. So at the end of the day, we had $150,000. And that was quite an afternoon. And I was feeling quite wealthy by the end of the day. That didn't last very long.
Schwalb's gamble worked, and after securing Liberty Bonds and raising more than $40 million in private financing, his credit cards have long been paid off. But that doesn't stop friends from making jokes that the museum should be called the Sports Museum of America, brought to you by American Express, Citicorp, MasterCard, and Visa. It's mid-October, and construction is underway on the Sports Museum's exhibit halls and meeting space. Surrounded by concrete dust, exposed framework, and heavy plastic tarps, Schwalb and Sam Gordon, manager of venue design, have no problem envisioning what this space will become.
So you come up these elevators, which don't exist currently, and when you get out, the first thing you see is Dream Big. So it's the sort of picture of Lance Armstrong on his bike when he was 10.
Tony Hawk in his garage with his father building a little jump.
Pele when he was 7 or 8. They're really sweet photos and sweet movies, and then the ideas to imbue children that are visiting with this sense, like, wow, there's Serena when she was 8 practicing, you know, maybe I can do that.
The Dream Big exhibit and the rest of the SMA's wall space will be populated with artifacts on loan from sports halls of fame. Some, like the Heisman Trophy and the Billie Jean King International Women's Sports Center, will relocate here permanently. Others, like the journal Jesse Owens kept during the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, will be on loan. But Schwalb can't expect sports halls of fame to send him their best artifacts, can he?
Wrong. They will, for a couple of reasons. First of all, it bears well on them. But the other thing is they
they have just luminous collections. The Basketball Hall of Fame has, I don't know, I would say a couple of thousand artifacts on display and probably 20 or 25,000 artifacts in storage, and they rotate them.
Schwalb says his team has worked hard to make sure the artifacts displayed in the museum are more unusual than just another ball or just another jersey. But co-founder Samir Ahuja says the real draw is the interactive nature of the museum.
It's impossible to put yourself, if you're not an athlete, which is the majority of the population, in that mode and in that mindset, what it's really like to be, you know, the person, you know, throwing a football in front of 100,000 people. And I believe that our venue will be the only place, like, in the world where you can kind of get to that last frontier where you're in, you're really put in the body and mind of the athlete. That's the thing I would go every day and do, because it would be something I wouldn't be able to experience anywhere else.
Thank you.
Who's Jackie Robinson?
Last week, some of those interactives were ready for testing in offices above a sandwich shop in Soho. Operand is the interactives company that's been working on the SMA's exhibits for 7 years, since before Schwalb had secured financing for the project. In all, Operand is designing and building more than 20 pieces for the museum, everything from a Family Feud-style sports trivia game to a unit where fans can get under the hood of an NFL instant replay display, see what the referees see, and then find out how their opinion stacks up against the actual call.
You know, after reviewing the play, ball hit the ground.
Yeah, baby, all right.
Josiah Hobson, a principal at Operand, says it hasn't been easy putting together everything the museum wanted.
We have these hockey masks, and we wanted to give the feeling of what it's like to be a goalie. And you stick your face in the mask, and you see different shots on goal coming at you, and we couldn't find the footage anywhere. So we had to actually do an original photo shoot. We got the Rangers in their practice stadium to agree to let us come in and film them, and we brought a film crew in, and we shot original footage of the Rangers.
Hobson says the project was declared a resounding success when one of the volunteer testers found herself nauseated after watching a few virtual flying pucks coming at her head. This, despite the fact that the unit is currently just a hockey mask, fitted with a computer monitor, supported by FedEx boxes, and lots of packing tape.
We have a lot of stuff that's, you know, made out of cardboard, made out of tape, glue, plastic, whatever we can find to kind of, you know, fake what the real enclosure is going to be. Because really, like, typically we don't get to get our hands on the actual fully fabricated enclosures and all the hardware until a couple weeks before it opens. So we have to have everything done by then.
Hobson is confident that all the exhibits will be installed and working well in plenty of time for the museum's opening. But the Sports Museum of America still holds risks. Will the public come to Lower Manhattan in the numbers the SMA's thorough studies have predicted? Will other halls of fame continue to regard the museum as a useful partner instead of a threat? Phil Schwalb isn't afraid to take those risks. That's the lesson he learned on 9/11.
And I think that the occurrence for a New Yorker and for me as someone who was working and standing, you know, 25 blocks away watching what happened, the impact for me was, if you really believe in something, you know, you just need to do it.
The Sports Museum of America will open its doors at noon on Wednesday, May 7th. I'm Karen Given, and my story on the Sports Museum of America will be featured on Only a Game this Saturday when I fill in for Bill Littlefield. Also, we'll hear from Ron Schachter, who has received promises from the Detroit Tigers that they will improve this season. We'll check in on the abbreviated Olympic torch relay through San Francisco and discuss what effect, if any, anti-China protests will have on Chinese policy and the 2008 Beijing Games. I'll interview Barbara Smith, author of Sneaker Wars, a new book that chronicles the bitter family feud between Adi and Rudolf Dassler, the brothers who founded Adidas and Puma. And of course, I'll speak with Charlie Pierce about the week's sports news. So join us or log in and listen to the program at onlyagame.org.